SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Welcome in to Madness. It is March the 7th. Plenty going on the hardwood college basketball. It's all about March Madness, and it'll be here before we know it. We're also finishing up the regular season in the NBA, as a lot of teams are pushing to make the postseason. Great game coming up here between the Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Also, Portland getting ready to take on the backups of Oklahoma City, because apparently nobody is playing from OKC. They're actually holding tryouts tonight, and they're going to let guys come in from outside the stadium. Here's the Jersey play, which is why they're only a three-point favorite here. But we all know the NFL never sleeps. So the NFL, whenever we get breaking news at 7 o'clock Eastern time on a Friday during March Madness, you know it's got to be good. And this is, well, this is something. Our man, former New York Jet, former Seattle Seahawk, former West Virginia Mountaineer, how about Geno Smith, traded from Seattle to the one and only Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders. Why? Well, apparently Pete Carroll wanted his old quarterback there. Well, he's got him. I don't know what that means for Seattle. I'm not quite sure, but I think that tells you. I do believe he had a new contract pending or was going to have to get a new contract. So Seattle looks like they just cut ties with him to get rid of him. Let's bring in our good friend Adam Kaufman here. I mean, listen, if you can get anything for him at this point, Adam, he wasn't your future. And as long as, you know, you made that decision, and that's okay, because the organization, Seattle, at least has a direction and they know what they don't want. And what they didn't want to have to do was pay Geno Smith again. So now he is, once again, Pete Carroll's problem with the Raiders. Interesting move, to say the least.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was just looking up, you know, some more of the specifics. Goes for a third round pick. You would ask, you know, as we were coming on the air, does, you know, Seattle even have a backup option? Not really. The in-house option right now is Sam Howell. That's who you're looking at, of course, the former Commander. So, look, this opens the door to one of a few different things. As we know, Raiders who are picking, or I guess are picking sixth, it was, all right, they need a quarterback. Could they trade up potentially with the Patriots, go after Shedeur Sanders if he's still on the board? All that speculation, all those mock drafts, all those perceived trades out the window, because this one obviously has happened. Geno Smith, as you said, reunited with Pete Carroll. And who knows? I mean, do they deal for DK Metcalf too? He's requested a trade. He's on the outs. Tyler Lockett was just released. This is a full rebuild situation that's on the way here with Seattle. Maybe. The reason I say maybe is because do we see them go get a quarterback in the draft, which is inevitable, but I mean, do they do it up high? Do they try and take someone in the first round, or do they, you know, call it kind of like a la Houston with Davis Mills, just sort of take someone when someone's available, when that happened a couple years back? Or there's the, you know, nuclear option. Do you go out and overpay someone like Sam Darnold, who we know is not going to be back in Minnesota? And then there's that in-between option where Russ is going to be looking for a home. Could Russell Wilson, you know, bookend the career with, you know, go back to Seattle here and have that Hollywood story close? Because obviously he's running out of time. I mean, this could be his last year or two in the league. Aaron Rodgers, I guess, would be an option if they were desperate. I can't imagine he would want to go there, but considering he already made a call on his own behalf to the Giants asking if they were interested in his services, clearly desperation has already set in for him. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the Seahawks do here. I think Russ would be a fun story, though, because he's not going to be back in Pitt.
Yeah, as you were talking, that story got progressively worse, Adam. As you brought me down the Russ and Rian, that's just gross on so many levels. All right, so NFL, Geno Smith making headlines on a Friday, but we got some quality games in the association here tonight. And I do think this Miami game against Minnesota, listen, Miami is not rolling over for anybody. They were shorthanded the other night, still almost managed to pull off the upset there against the Cavs. They welcome in Minnesota, who I do believe will have Conley back here tonight. Still no Rudy Gobert there. Miami looks like they'll get Tyler Hero back. And I think Wiggins, shocker, unavailable to play tonight. He hasn't been available in 3 years. So Miami or Golden State, it doesn't make a difference. But this was as high as five and a half. It's come down to around four here. You know, Miami at this price is still very much a live dog, are they not?
Yeah, I would think so. I was just, you know, looking to see what's out there in the injury report. It looks like just Rudy Gobert out for Minnesota. And then on the Miami side, like you said, we just got, as you were talking, got the notification that Tyler Hero is, in fact, going to play in this one. And so, yeah, there's no, I would look to his props or Bam Adebayo, you know, overs, because obviously, like you said, no Andrew Wiggins. He's missed a couple in a row at this point in time. I don't know. When it comes to sides here tonight, there are some interesting spots to me. This isn't one of them. I just feel like, you know, Miami is a team that anytime I have faith, there's the disappointment. Minnesota, I generally expect big things out of Edwards, but, you know, second to him, it's hard to know where that's going to come from. You know, there's the Julius Randle element now, so they're sort of feeling out everything as, you know, back to what it was in the first part of the year when they were kind of that two-man show, but woeful inconsistency on the part of Randle, at least offensively. He'd get you some rebounds, that type of thing, but it was one of those like, all right, is this a clog the lane night for Randle where he's just sort of in the way? Or, you know, his first game back the other day where he went crazy, is he going to produce? And so I would be inclined to, you know, back Minnesota in this spot just because I do think top to bottom there's more talent. But I don't have a real strong feel on either side.
The it's interesting, too, here. We've got, well, the Cavs are laying 100 points one way or the other again. Yeah. I mean, it's almost laughable at this point. But this Grizzlies Mavericks game, I think, is interesting, too, because Memphis has kind of been going through it, Adam, and they need, well, they need a win, would be great. And it looks like, as far as health goes, well, they're healthier than what we're going to get from Dallas, but it is a double digit Grizzlies laying it on the road.
Look, I mean, us two and all the guys in back could form a starting five, and it would be healthier than what they've got going on in Dallas right now. It's a terrible situation. It's crazy to me. Look, latest number, let me just pull it up real quick. We're looking at Minnesota minus 10.5, almost across the board. Looks like there might, unless the number's wrong, might be a rogue 9.5 out there on DraftKings. This number should be double. It should be the Cleveland spread. I can't fathom Minnesota, even being a road team, not winning this game by 15 to 20 points or more. Dallas has nothing to work with. And, you know, maybe that, like, we'll change our tune a little bit when Anthony Davis does make his way back. But Memphis, right. I know this is a team that it's like the hospital Grizzlies on a night-to-night basis. At least one guy is always out tonight, you know, and for the next little bit, there's no Jaren Jackson Jr., but everyone else is out there. And so, you know, whether you want to back Morant or Bane or, you know, you name it, Edie, I think Zach Edie is in a great spot. Look for him to have a double-double tonight.
Like, well, you know, Purdue could use him, but I don't think that's going to happen either, Adam. Game Time Decisions continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we've got a loaded slate of games here tonight. Plenty in the NBA, plenty in college basketball, a lot of mid-major tournaments underway, the final regular season games for some of these Power Five conferences. We got a couple of good ones coming up here tonight with Purdue and Illinois, Boise State, Colorado State, and then, of course, the New York Knicks. Will they ever win a game against a quality team? But, oh, wait a minute. There's good news. A, Scotty Wetzel stepping in, and he'll take over at the top of the hour for In-Game Live. But, Scotty, the good news is we know the New York Knicks, they can't beat good teams. The Clippers are not a good team, Scotty, so they should be able to win this game tonight, no?
You would think, right? But, you know, and I absolutely love, Joe, going on teams, rather, that lose yes. their star players for at least the first game, maybe even two. I really do, but I just can't do it tonight. Brunson means so much to this team. They blew the double-digit lead. They got to be depressed. They don't have to go far, obviously, here in L.A. playing the Clippers. Yeah. But I don't see it happening without Brunson. I really don't. Carl Anthony Towns going to step up. Bridges, one of these guys going to really step up and fill the gap? I don't think so. Clippers, as bad as they've been, you know, they are still very good at home. 20-6 straight up last, 26 at home. More importantly, for our purposes, 18-5 against the spread their last 23 home games. And they're coming off a win against Detroit, which they're actually home dogs. So I'm going with the Clippers. It's a decent-sized number. It is. It's down to 6.5 in some circles. But I think the Clippers get it done. I think the Knicks are in big trouble without Brunson.
Well, yeah, at least 2 weeks now, the report coming out that the Knicks will have to survive without him. But again, survive against the bad team should not be a problem, because that's the only teams they can actually beat this year. I'm wondering, too, when I saw this line last night, I saw 14.5 and 15 with Oklahoma City welcoming in Portland. Then I woke up today and I saw it at 3, and I was like, are they bringing in the G League team? Like, what? Well, as it turns out, there's nobody playing for Oklahoma City here tonight of any value whatsoever. So this thing went from 15-3, Scott. And Portland, by the way, quietly battling for that 10th seed and a spot in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they've been playing terrific basketball. They really have. I mean, when you say nobody, Joe, it is nobody. I mean, none of there's two guys and the starting lineup that aren't playing. Then there's a couple of more on the bench that get regular minutes that aren't playing tonight for OKC, right? And the weirdest thing about it is Gilchrist Alexander, he's the one that's not hurt. So he's the one that's legitimately just not playing because of rest. Keep in mind, we've been down this road before, I know, but the kid's 26 years old and they didn't play yesterday, yet somehow or another, when the whole team is out, they're going to decide to rest him tonight. So what does that mean for our betting purposes? I can't, you know, realistically go with the two. I can't do that. I can't bet Portland, even though I think they're going to win. But again, we've seen so many times with these teams rise up. We're going to go over, Joe, long story short. We've seen the subs come in time after time after time and be able to score points. They can't play any defense. Over 228, 229, depending on what number you get, is the play for me.
So the Nuggets taking on the Phoenix Suns at home here tonight. A lot of question marks as far as whether the Joker is going to go here tonight. We know Phoenix has struggled, although, you know, that come from, maybe it's that come from behind wind against the Clippers the other night. Maybe that they can carry on with that, especially if there's no Joker here tonight. 7.5, Scotty, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's it, Joe. You and I talked a couple days ago when it was the Clippers versus Detroit, right? And all the trends said Detroit, Detroit, Detroit. And we said, a little hunch play on the Clippers, and the Clippers end up winning outright. Same thing here. And you said it exactly. All the trends point to Denver. That they really do. They're playing great, 11-2, last 13 at home. But I'm just thinking that last win by Phoenix, when KD before the game read him the riot act and said it was embarrassing and this, that, maybe, just maybe, that's turned things around. They're four back for the final play-in spot. They need the tough schedule, but they need to win some of these tough games that they're not supposed to win. Maybe it happens tonight. I think it does. I'm going to play a little hunch, and you're getting a pretty decent number, 7.5.
Yeah, no, not a bad number at all in this one here. And what are we doing here? A little De'Aaron Fox prop? Is that what I'm seeing here tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I do a lot of these plays in the morning, right, when I'm just getting up and this and that, and I'm like, all right, the epiphany, right? De'Aaron Fox, he's playing, if he's down with San Antonio, he's playing Sacramento for the first time since the trade a month ago. Boy, no one's going to notice this. Let's get in on this, right? So little opposite pick, little secrecy, right? Meanwhile, now there's stories all over the place all day about how he's going back to Sacramento for the first time. But I still like it, Joe. I'm going to play his points at 22.5, maybe 23.5, his assists, right? Around six. I'm even going to play his over rebounds. I mean, they basically kicked him out of town. They blamed him for all the everything else that went on over there. They fired the head coach. I got a feeling he's got a monster chip on his shoulder. I'm going to play all of his overs, especially the points.
Listen, go for it. How about that Purdue Illinois game? I don't get the movement to the under. It's a dead over as far as I'm concerned, Scotty.
Exactly, right? I mean, Illinois is top 10 in scoring, and they're at home, and they really need to win this game. And Purdue can go up and down the court with the best of them, so I don't get the lowered it to 158.5 either. I liked that 159.5 this morning. I think that's an automatic overplay. Friday night, place should be packed. Kids will be all there, the school kids. I don't think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I like the over.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do not see that being low scoring at all. I also don't trust Memphis to lay 14 points, 13 points either against South Florida. They've got nothing to play for here tonight, Scotty. How do you look at this one?
I'm going to go over, Joe, 82.5 points Memphis team total. They've hit this number six of their last nine. They're at home, senior day, you're right, playing for nothing. Just a little giddiness up and down the court. I think they get to 83 against a bad team they're playing.
Yeah, I like that, Scott. I like the over in the game, too, as well. They should be able to contribute enough South Florida to get that thing flying over it there. All right, my man, we're going to see you here shortly, top of the hour, for a little in-game live. You're not going to want to miss it. In the meantime, we'll talk a little Arnold Palmer Classic when we get back here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on this Sports Grid Network. Truth be told, I liked our segment with Scotty Wetzel so much, I invited him back. So we're going to push Brady Cannon back to the bottom of this hour here so we can finish up this card tonight in college hoops there, Scotty. In-game live coming up top of the hour. We'll pass off the baton. I love these Mountain West games tonight. I like the one out in the pit with New Mexico, but I really like the Boise State, Colorado State here. Colorado State, six in a row they've rattled off. Boise State, five in a row. Teams battling for position in the conference tournament. What gives in this one tonight?
Yeah, I wish this line was a little bit lower than 6.5, but I'll take it just the same. We got the best of both worlds for both here. Boise State's covered 7 straight at home, 7-0 against the spread. Colorado State's covered 6-0 heading into this game, but 1-8 against the spread as road dogs, as clearly they are now. So because of that, I'll push it towards Boise State. They don't lose at home. They're nearly, you know, unbeatable at home. And now they've been covering the number. Again, I wish it was 4.5, 5.5. You know, maybe put Boise State in and keep a little bit on the side, Joe, and then hopefully Colorado State scores like the first 4 points and you get that number a little bit closer to 4 than it is 6.5. But I think ultimately Boise State wins the game, and I think they cover the number.
Yeah, I like that one there. And how about a little conference tournament with the mid-majors? You're going to go to the SoCon conference there, I believe, and you're going to give me the Citadel versus VMI, Virginia Military here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to the SoCon because the Citadel is so bad. they're 0-16,
oh, you're right,
Joe. They're winless in conference play. Excuse me, 0-18. I didn't want to shortchange them. My bad. 0-18. Now, VMI is not great, but they're 7-11 in conference play. That's a heck of a lot better than 0-18, right? I'm thinking they should get the win. Neutral court, you're laying 6.5 or so, 5.5, 6.5. I mean, the Citadel 5-24 overall. They've beaten one Division I team, one in 30, nearly 30 games this year. So give me VMI. They beat them by double digits the one time they faced them this season. I'll lay the 6.5 and keep my fingers crossed they win by at least 7 points.
I love that there, Scotty. I think we got some great ones here tonight. Also, I don't know, did you get a word that Geno Smith has been traded from Seattle to his old coach there, Pete Carroll? I mean, how bad are things for the Raiders where Carroll's like, you got to go get me Geno Smith. And Seattle's like, oh, no problem. You can have him. Just send us like, a Twix bar and a third rounder and we're good to go. So Geno on his way to the Raiders, Scotty, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, and no matter what you think about Geno, you know, to me, the bottom line is that the Seattle Seahawks gave away their starting quarterback for not a first rounder or even maybe a second rounder, a third round pick. I mean, he may not be worth more than that. I get that, but the bottom line is he's your starting quarterback. Unless they love Sam Howell so much that they're going to use him, you know, the former Washington Commander, he was the backup. But I think it's really just a point of one team saying they're tired of living in purgatory and another team, the Raiders, saying, boy, we'll take purgatory, you know, because purgatory at least makes us 500. Whereas Seattle just says, you know, we've been there, done that. You said in the break, he's entering the last year of his contract. He's not making that much money. He's not, but you just assume bottom out, right? They got little Lockett, Metcalf wants out. Maybe this is the year Seattle just says, we go 3-14, we bottom out, we get a top five pick, and then we go get a quarterback next year.
Yeah, I listened. It's good news if you like Seattle, because at least they've made a decision. They're not going to go back and forth. They don't want a lame duck quarterback complaining all year about a contract they're never going to give them. So, you know, cut bait while you can and move on. But my goodness, Pete Carroll, are you calling Pittsburgh and asking if Russ is available too? Like, what is going on here with the NFL making all sorts of noise here tonight? I am looking very forward to it, though, Scotty. You got, of course, in-game live coming up here tonight. Anything on the ice that you liked here tonight?
I tell you, I really love Vegas. I'll lay the -145 to win a regulation. Penguins are dead. Just awful. They're dead. Last place. I can't believe I'm saying last place with Pittsburgh Penguins. Vegas red hot, 6-1 their last seven. I'll lay the -145 to win in regulation, Joe.
I love it, Scott. I like that play too as well. We always appreciate it. We'll see you top of the hour for in-game live. Next, Brady Cannon stops by. Let's talk some golf.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on this Friday in the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. While we talked a little college and NBA action, let's not forget TikTok, a couple of weeks away from our very first major on the PGA Tour coming up, of course, in Augusta. But none better than Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And the list of golfers and the names here is the who's who of the golf world and the PGA Tour. Which is why we have the who's who when it comes to breaking down the PGA. Brady Cannon in the house stopping by so we can get updated with what we have seen here. And what we have seen is some of the same characters playing very similar roles here. We saw Wyndham Clark come out like a bat out of hell on Thursday, Brady, only to be as mediocre as he usually is today. And voila, there, 67-71. You never know what you're going to get from Wyndham Clark, which is totally head-scratching. But it's good to see Colin Morikawa. It's also, even though he cost me money last week, Russell Henley got the flat stick working again. But it's our boy Shane Lowry out in front, 69-67. That is your 36-hole leader right now, and we were just talking. Chances of Shane Lowry being able to go all four rounds and win this thing?
Yeah, I don't love the thought of it, you know, and I'm kicking myself a little bit because I was on him last week. He cashed a nice top 20 finish for me. I think he ended up finishing 11th, but now you've got a completely upgraded field, and I didn't want to go back to the well with Lowry, and now here he is sitting on top of the leaderboard, but I just don't know if it's going to last. We haven't seen this guy win in a long, long time. Now, I know he's a great wind player. He's great on the Florida swing. He plays tough golf courses very well. Right now, he is number one in this field. He is striping the irons. He's number one in this field for stroke gained approach. But, you know, and you talked about it off air as well. The putter is red hot. He is sixth in this field for putting. But Shane Lowry has been off to an awful start in 2025 with the putter. So you wonder if all of a sudden this putter being red hot, is that going to continue? And also, he's running into trouble off the tee. He's 40th in this field. Remember, there's only 50 or 60 players left in this field. He's 40th for strokes gained off the tee. If he continues to find the rough and get a little errant off the tee, boy, that iron play's not going to matter when he's giving himself tough positions like this. So I'm kind of glad. I mean, it'd be nice to have a ticket on him, but I just don't know if he's going to get there this week. I kind of like the guys that are trying to catch him right now. I think Wyndham Clark is fine. He's 10th in this field on approach. He's 8th in putting. He's number one in greens and regulation. He's 26th off the tee. If he can clean that up a little bit, I think this guy can be – I mean, he finished runner-up last year, right? And I know Lowry finished third, but I wouldn't be surprised if Lowry finished third again. Clark may be able to take one step better and win it this year, but you mentioned Morikawa. I think Morikawa and Justin Thomas are hitting the ball better than anybody else in this field right now. They are absolutely striping it. They're rarely missing a fairway. They're both number one in strokes gained. Or I take that back. Thomas is number one in strokes gained off the tee. Morikawa is number five. They're both number three in driving accuracy. Morikawa is eighth on approach. Thomas is seventh. Greens in regulation, Thomas is fifth. Both of them can't make a putt to save their life. Morikawa is 31st in putting and Thomas is 42nd. They are absolutely just annihilating the golf ball straight down the middle of the fairway, but they can't hole a putt. And if that just turns a little bit for either one of those guys, boy, I have a ticket pre-tournament on Thomas. I may add one here over the weekend on Morikawa.
Interesting enough, too, a lot of very big, well, big names, familiar names, not going to see the weekend. Victor Hovland still can't figure it out there. Like, he should get himself another swing coach. That'll help. Sahith Theegala, Minwoo Lee, who we thought was going to be actually pretty good in this spot. Max Homa has no idea what he's doing. Tom Kim, Maverick Mania. So there are... It was good to see Xander back out there, too. Obviously, he looks rusty, like a guy that hasn't played in a couple months. But, you know, this is a golf course that you better be able to hit the irons. You better have a clue as to where it's going, because those guys, none of them did, unfortunately, on Thursday and Friday.
I think it's great, Joe. It really feels like, I believe, the first tournament that we've seen this year where this is really busting some chops of these players out here.
Yes.
I mean, guys are shooting 80. This is big boy golf at its finest. I mean, yeah, Cam Davis, who got out to a great start, and then he comes back, and what he shoot today? 80. And he's, you know, slamming the trunk and packing the bags for the weekend. Davis Thompson, Akshay Bhatia. How'd you like playing Bay Hill for the first time, Akshay?
Yeah.
You know, he's going home early, 79, 73. I mean, there's some big names. Billy Horschel's played here 1,000 times. He's going home early. Maverick McNealy was a guy that I was on pre-tournament, and I loved his opening round. He was doing great, and then all of a sudden, he just did a 180 and shot an 80 today as well. So, you know, as much, I mean, I've got half my guys left. Pre-tournament, I was on Fitzpatrick and Thomas. They're going to be around for the weekend, and McNealy and Minwoo Lee. I've only got two guys left. I've got top 20 finishes in play for both of them, and I think Thomas is possibly still live to win it. He's at 3 under, 5 shots off the lead. That's probably about my stopping point right there, Joe. I don't know if I like anybody that's further than 5 back heading into the weekend. The weather tomorrow, you could see some scoring. I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Corey McIlroy just lights it up on Saturday. Not a lot of wind in the forecast. I think these guys are going to be able to get the golf course. But then on Sunday, by the time the leaders tee off, we're supposed to see some wind again. So it's and Shane Lowry, one of the best wind players in the world, he's got that going for him.
Great to see Jason Day, by the way, former champion here at this course. It's always been a matter of whether or not how healthy is that back with him. But, man, 64, one of the lowest rounds that we've seen at Bay Hill in a very, very long time. And we know him, you know, as he got older, a little streakier. He's a guy very much can put a couple of rounds together. Next thing you know, Jason Day's in a final group on a Sunday.
Yeah, I hate to back a guy off of a round when he went so low because I could see him shooting even par or two over tomorrow. Yep. I hope he doesn't. I'm a big fan of Jay Day. I've already bet him for the PGA Championship, Joe. And maybe that, you know, I love this form. I love that he's got this game still in him, and this is showing up here and there. I hope it continues. I bet him for the PGA Championship, which is being held this year at Quail Hollow, where he has won twice four. So I like that the game's looking good. I hope it's peaking come May for Jason Day.
Yeah, so do I here. And of course, Scotty Scheffler sitting right around 10 to 1. Are we thinking he's got a shot?
Well, it's like Rory and Scotty. We're never getting a bargain on those two guys, right? I mean, you're really paying a premium for a guy. What's he, one over par, I believe, right now?
Yeah.
Nine shots back. He's Scotty Scheffler. We've seen him do it before. We saw him do it with six holes left to play at the Olympics, for God's sakes. But no, I don't want to back him at 10 to 1. I think this golf course is too hard. I think Saturday is going to be an opportunity for some guys to pad their lead and possibly go low. No, if I'm going to back anybody right now, it'd be Justin Thomas, Wyndham Clark, and Colin Morikawa. I think those guys have a real solid shot.
One under is Scottie Scheffler, along with Åberg. And mark my words right now, come Sunday, in the final couple of groups, Justin Rose will be there. As sure as I'm sitting here, Justin Rose will show up somewhere. He's like a bad rash, man. We can't get rid of him, Brady. Every time we turn around, the old guy, he's always right there.
He was in big triple digits pre-tournament. He was around 150 to 1 or something to win this thing. I hope he gets it.
Real. Me too. Brady, we appreciate it as always, man. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Friday on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you hanging with us here as we've got plenty going on in the hardwood. It is called March Madness for a reason here. College hoops here tonight. Couple of big games getting ready to tip off, including Purdue trying to right this ship before the Big Ten tournament, traveling to take on Illinois. Huge game coming up here tonight. But let's not forget, we got plenty going on the ice here tonight. And what a day, in fact, it was, the final day of the trade deadline. And here to make heads or tails of it is our good friend Joe Madden, who, Joe, and my phone was blowing up here in South Florida earlier today. I had to read it like 12 times because I thought I was being punked. I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean the Panthers just got Brad Marchand? Wait, what? What is going on here? But once again, they're the champs, and they are reloading, and they understand what it takes. Tkachuk is on the sideline until the playoffs begin. Boy, what a luxury to have Marchand. You just slot him right in there now.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the Florida Panthers, still the favorite sitting here to take the Stanley Cup, to be able to repeat. And I think with Brad Marchand put into this lineup, they have every ability to. Now, we did see that big move for the Dallas Stars as well, Joe. The Dallas Stars getting Mikko Rantanen, making them the second favorite to take the Stanley Cup at plus 600, with the Carolina Hurricanes allowing him to go, and the Dallas Stars wrapping him up into an eight-year contract. But Bruins fans have got to be feeling it today. End of an era in Boston, so it's going to be an interesting night for them to see their reactions, especially working with Scott Wetzel later. He's not going to be a happy camper because the Bruins, they just sold off. They waved the white flag and they've given up.
They really have. But you know what? I think it's, we can all agree it's time with that franchise there to kind of kick back and regroup here. All right, so we have plenty going on the ice here tonight. Some very intriguing matchups on the ice here tonight. And let's start with the Winnipeg Jets, who finally won a game the other night here. They'll have an opportunity against the Devils to do it again. Devils, of course, Hughes out, I believe, for the rest of the year. No really big trade deadline move. So what are we thinking about this Devils team?
Yeah, tough spot for the Devils here. Dougie Hamilton, not 100% either. I don't believe he hit the ice. And the Winnipeg Jets already up 1-0. I do think the Winnipeg Jets should be able to get the win. I originally took them in reg in this game. Now with this one, 1-0 right now for the Winnipeg Jets, really hard for you to jump in on. They should be able to cover the puck line at the end of the day. Laying the 1.5 is coming in at plus 114 live right now. But this is the second night of a back-to-back. So you've got to worry about those tired legs with the Devils coming in nice and fresh into this one. But this is a team that's 4-6 in their last 10. We should see Connor Hellebuyck and the Winnipeg Jets do enough. So if this one ties up, that's when I would be looking at the Winnipeg Jets to win it in regulation if you can get that bet in then. But otherwise, if you have to bet it right now, it would be that puck line laying the 1.5 at plus 114. I do think the Devils will struggle to score on Hellebuyck.
It looks like the Detroit Red Wings are tired of losing, finally. They have jumped all over Washington. 2-0 in this game early on. And there were a lot of people thinking, listen, Detroit is, they're too good to continue down this path here. They seem to have righted the ship early, but it just feels like we're probably getting a lot of goals in this game if we've gotten two already in the first.
Yeah, we should be getting a lot of goals. That total sitting at 6.5. And Joe, you can't jump in on it. It's minus 174. But what you can look at here is the Washington Capitals to come back. We know this is a team at home has had these notoriously slow starts in that first period. It's kind of mind-boggling what they've done in some of these first periods, allowing their opponent to really get up nice and strong. But we look at this Red Wings team, and you can't trust them on the kill. So the minute they start taking those penalties, look for the Washington Capitals to really capitalize. Now, they're almost a $2 dog here in this one at home with the Detroit Red Wings up 2-0. So you can look at them at plus 196 on the money line. You could also just play it cautiously at plus 1.5 at minus 128. But I do think either way you go, you should be in for a good night here. I think the Washington Capitals can win it at the end of the day. Look for Ovi on the power play. I've got his power play point tonight. That's coming in. You can still bet it at plus 190. And then Alex DeBrincat on the other side, yet to score a goal here tonight, but DeBrincat is looking for goal number 30. So definitely someone you want to look at.
All right. What are we thinking here? I know a lot of folks here are believing Utah might be a good look tonight against Chicago, but my goodness, I am just weary of trying to fade Chicago in a spot that everyone thinks they're going to lose. And then they end up doing crazy things here. What do we get tonight with the Blackhawks?
Well, we got Spencer Knight in net tonight for the Chicago Blackhawks, and we saw how tall he stood in goal in his debut for this team versus the LA Kings. He stopped 41 of 42 shots on his net. So which Spencer Knight are we going to see? His last couple games with Florida, Joe, you know it. He had a solid production. He didn't take as many shots, you know, 17, 18 shots, only allowing one in that last game for Florida. So I'm expecting a lot out of him here. Utah's not a buy-on team for me. I know they've been playing stronger with Dylan Gunther back in the lineup returning from injury, and they've actually been winning these games and they've been costing me my money because I haven't had that faith in Utah. But in this one, I still don't. Against a hot Spencer Knight, look for him to perform again. Really solid between the pipes here for the Chicago Blackhawks in his second game for them, and for the Chicago Blackhawks to be able to put those goals on the board. I've got Chicago's team total over 2.5 goals in this one.
What are we doing with St. Louis and Anaheim? Anaheim, once again, sneaky good, Joe.
St. Louis, let's just lay the puck line. I really do think the St. Louis Blues win this and they win it big. You're seeing them off that win versus the Kings. They won the two versus the Kings. They face the Kings again tomorrow. They're making a push for the playoffs. So you would have thought this team would have been sellers at the trade deadline, but they came out of the break from the Four Nations so hot, Joe, that they decided not to sell off these pieces. So this team is hungry, sitting fifth in the Central right now. Look for them to pick up the points tonight, get that big win. I'd look at the Ducks team total under a 2.5, and then for St. Louis to probably struggle tomorrow versus the Kings. But the Kings have Vegas on deck on Sunday. Bad spot for the Kings, too.
All right, so I want to get your thoughts on that Vegas team. The late-night game will do that as we look to wrap it up. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. And what a night we have in store for you coming up. Plenty of college basketball tonight, NBA, not to mention NHL. Joe Madden here with us, and of course her and Scotty Wetzel, they'll have you covered coming up for In-Game Live. No reason for you to have to go anywhere. But before we get you out of here, Joe, talk to me about this Vegas Penguins game, late night bailout special here on the ice tonight. There's no way we can bet the Penguins, right?
There is no way we can bet them, but sort of can bet them. I'm looking for a higher scoring game. So I think both of these teams are going to put the goals on the board tonight. If you're looking at Vegas's team total, isolating that, it's so highly juiced. Over 3.5 goals coming in at minus 134. So I don't love that. So when I'm looking at the Penguins, I do think they can get 3 goals in this game. They don't have to win it, but over 2.5 goals coming in at minus 110. I do think you see Sidney Crosby come out nice and strong. We've seen the Penguins play Vegas really solid. They've won 5 of the last 7 meetings versus the Vegas Golden Knights, which is kind of surprising. So look for Sidney Crosby. Look for Raquel to step up. Raquel looking for goal number 30. I really thought he would be part of the trade deadline here, but it looks like he will be staying. And then if you're looking for players for Vegas, Jack Eichel, 2+ points tonight, is coming in at plus 162. Jack Eichel's had a couple points in the last 2 games. And then Thomas Hertl going further down the list, 2+ points for him at plus 320. I do think he has every ability centering that second line on that top power play to put the points on the board. I do see 8-9 goals in this matchup tonight, Joe.
Hello. All right. So you're expecting that to be a fun one here tonight to end the night. Good news is, we get to see you and Scotty in just a couple of minutes as you get everyone ready for this slate of games. So, Joe, thank you very much as always. And her and Scotty will be taking over here in just a couple of minutes for In-Game Live. In the meantime, we've got plenty going on here in the NBA here tonight with the Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves getting ready for that tip-off here in Miami. Miami getting points, 3.5, 4 points here. And I always love Miami at home getting points in a desperate spot. The total has been bet up now, by the way, to 218 in that one. I'll be taking the points in the Miami Heat. I hate to say it, but I feel like the New York Knicks have to be a play tonight. Getting the 7 points against the Clippers. We did learn that Jalen Brunson out for at least 2 weeks after injuring himself yesterday in overtime against the Lakers, a game in which they had won until, of course, they didn't. But now they're going to have to do it and hold down the fort without Jalen Brunson. They have not been able to beat the elite teams, the mediocre teams, and that is exactly what the Clippers are. They've been able to get it done. I think the Knicks step up here tonight. I'll take the 7. I'll even sprinkle a little something there on the money line. And also coming up, you've got college basketball Big Ten action with Purdue getting ready to go on the road to take on Illinois. Illinois has gotten the money. This opened up 3.5. Illinois now 4.5 point favorite. To me, this is all about the over. I did not understand what the fascination with the market betting this thing down to 158. I think this is going to be over. I think both teams get into the 80s. So it is an over for me coming up with Purdue and Illinois. Also, 9 o'clock Eastern time. How about South Florida? Talk about just a terrible season. Their coach passes away just before the first game of the season this year. It has been a struggle, but this team has bonded. This team has stayed together. They've been very competitive. And Memphis, well, they already locked up the number one seed in the American Athletic Conference. What does that mean? It means they have absolutely no motivation tonight at home taking on this South Florida team. This is their national championship, South Florida. And wouldn't they love to take a bite out of Memphis here tonight before the American Athletic Conference tournament starts next week? I'll take all the points you want to give me with South Florida here tonight. And there you got it. My goodness, what a weekend it is going to be. We got golf, we got hockey, we got basketball. More importantly, we've got In-Game Live. It's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Game Time Decisions. We'll see you again soon.